Now, we've got our local MP, Cindy McLeish, on the line. So, first of all, how are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, Alan, and I've got to say I'm a bit of a fan of Billy Joel's, and I saw him at the MCG when he was out here not so long ago.
Terrific. It's sad
to hear. In fact,
it was
the second time I've seen him. Yeah, it is. It's
sad to hear. Well, sad to hear anybody's sick, but, you know.
Yeah, he's a mega talent. He's a mega talent.
Absolutely. Now, you want to talk about Volunteer Month.
It is. May's Volunteer Month, and we're nearly at the end of May, which means... you know, June, we're into winter and we're still, you know...
Got... Don't tell me that.
We're still acting like we're in summer, but I think there's been a little bit of activity on the roads and rescue things, and I thought that what better way to highlight the work of, you know, our dedicated volunteers, which is to talk about some of the activities that they've been doing lately and what they and who they work with. So the Upper Yarra SES unit that are there, Yarra Junction, Wesburn, somewhere in between, I think it's Wesburn. And it's just sort of what they do on a regular weekend. So they've got quite a bit going on. So last week, and you can imagine, so when the SES attend an incident, they're not the only ones who turn up. So they attended a vehicle rollover. Little Yarra CFA were there, also volunteers, Ambulance Victoria and Vic Police, okay, not volunteers, but they had to get people out of the car, so extract the occupants, they've got to handle them, and then they've got that lighting and traffic management. But, you know, you can see that when these guys have their training, they get the, you know, learn how to use not just chainsaws, but the jaws of life, and they're pretty scary things.
Oh,
when you...
aren't they? I've seen them.
And in fact, one time when I was at the Seymour show years ago, the Seymour SES put me in a car.
Oh.
They didn't roll it or anything. They just had it there. It was, you know, an old bomb that gets donated to them. And this is why they need old bombs, so they can train.
Yep.
And they cut me out of it. So the unit controller or whoever it was designated to talk to me, to tell me what was happening and when it would be noisy and I might feel a bit of pressure here or I might feel this or might feel that.
Sure.
Yeah. So they have the training, you know, they get upskilled in something like this. So when you think about what it is really that they do, you know, this is one of the many activities. So, you know, they might pull a car out of a ditch, but at the same time, you know, if somebody's in that car and needs rescuing, they've got to get them out. So that's pretty, you know, can be quite harrowing. So they've... casualty handling, getting the occupants out of the vehicle, lights and traffic. So, you know, they have the big lights and things like that to light it up. So, because it's not always in the middle of the day.
No, very often late at night.
No, so then on Friday evening. So started on Friday afternoon, just last week. They had that rollover on Little Yarra Road.
Yep.
Then Friday evening, they went to another car accident on Little Yarra Road. This time the car was on its roof. Sure. But everyone was out of the car on arrival, so, you know, and they just catch up with the same group from earlier in that day, the Little Yarra CFA and the ambulance and the police. So that's a couple of things on Friday. So they actually had a Saturday they had to themselves, but then on the Sunday afternoon, a couple of their members went for a three-hour walk through some of the mountain bike tracks, and I'll talk about mountain bike tracks in a minute, because what happens... is if somebody comes off a mountain bike and breaks a leg or whatever, someone's, you know, and can't walk, and they're a couple of kilometres in, someone's got to go in there and get them out.
Yeah.
You know, the ambulance can't get in there.
No.
They can only get to a certain point. So they thought that they'd go and walk through some of the mountain bike tracks and have a look and think what it is that, you know, we need to familiarise ourselves with. So you think, that's a nice day.
But it's still...
going and walking through the...
They're still away from their families and all that, aren't they? They're still working.
Exactly. So, volunteering.
Yeah.
So before they got home, they came across an injured rider who'd come off his bike.
Oh, no.
So 000 were called and the ambulance were on their way. But because they were unable to access the patient with their vehicle, they had to ferry the paramedics in so they could stabilise him for the transport. And you know, had their mules that they... get them out to safety. So then this person had to, they take them to Wesburn Oval, just right next to the Upper Yarra SES,
yep.
and airlift them to hospital. So, you know, there's a couple of completely different type of incidents that the volunteers are trained and are ready and willing to respond to. So that was all in, you know, last weekend. So two on the Friday afternoon, Friday night, and then on the Sunday afternoon, getting caught up in that as well. So as the mountain bike open up, there's probably going to be a few more people that come off their bikes, and that will mean that the SES are likely to be a bit busier.
Yeah. And, of course, we need to mention it, particularly with the CFA and the SES, a lot of those guys have got to get up and go to work the next day too.
That's right. That's right. We can't forget that. Sometimes, depending on the situation, because if it's a case of, you know, floods or something that's really, or the big storms that we had in the Yarra Ranges a few years back,
yep.
you know, the SES were clearing, and that's the other thing they, you know, can do, is clear trees that yep. have come down across roads or power lines or houses. So they've become quite skilled. Very handy to have somebody like that at home.
I bet too. Sydney, I'm just going to take one quick break and we'll be back with
sure.
more.
No worries.
Then waste my money trying to crack some city deal. Of people on their phone, their phone. I close my eyes and imagine what it feels like to quit this job and burn this suit for good. For good. Cause I feel at home driving on. Double shot of whiskey and I'm back on my feet.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 29 minutes to 2. And I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, the CFA over here at Hillsville had a busy Sunday.
Weekend as well.
Yeah.
they certainly do. And I think, Alan, I just want to mention that I am in Parliament at lunch. We're having a lunch break at the moment, and things are pretty hectic, which is why I'm on not as long as normal.
Yep. No, that's fine. Yep.
But so in contrast to what the Upper Yarra SES did, the Hillsville CFA and other CFAs, you know, have a few interesting situations that they attend to.
Yep.
So this is something that they posted at 11:30 p.m. a couple of nights ago. So they were paid to support Badger Creek CFA because there was a structure fire, so building fire threatening a residential home. So when they got there, there was a house fully engulfed in flames. So, you know, and something like that, you can't just have one crew turn up. So we have at 11:30 at night, at this particular incident, the Badger Creek CFA, Hillcrest CFA, Yellingbow, Coldstream, Bayswater. So this is quite a bit, plus the police and ambulance.
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of volunteers out, you know, doing that. And when you've got a house fully engulfed in flames, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. And you don't know what's in it either, do you? Like anything can explode, all sorts of things can happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anything can happen. And it was windy at the time, so that makes it even worse. And so then it spread to a neighbouring house, so they couldn't save either property. But they got back to the station at around 4 a.m. So remember you were saying people are going to have work to go to. Now, depending, you know, if you work for yourself, if you're on, you know, your own farm or something like that, well, you've got a little bit of leeway, but others don't necessarily have.
No.
That luxury. So depending what their jobs are, you know,
a couple of hours
they might be able to sleep in a little bit, but yeah, it's a long time to be out.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you and I have mentioned this before too, Cindy. No government, whether it be state or federal, any side of politics, could afford to replace all the probably millions of volunteer hours every year that are being put in by volunteers, could they? A lot of things just couldn't be done.
Yeah, absolutely. They really do an extraordinary amount. So one of the things that, you know, this highlights, so certainly, you know, if you've got a home, what you need to do to try and make sure you've got your smoke alarms and an escape plan and insurance is up to date and all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, if you're the volunteer, you've had specific training and it can be really fulfilling. You know, to go out like that and to help put a fire out and save it from spreading, stopping from spreading, whether it's a structure fire or a bushfire or, you know, factory fire. These guys are out there, men and women, and, you know, doing the hard yards to protect their community. And it's completely admirable that they do this.
Oh, I think so too. Cindy, I know you've got to leave us in about another 5 or 10 minutes. Have you got anything else you'd like to talk about first?
Well, one of the other things that's been popping up in the area, and again it ends up being driven by volunteers, is we've got a wild dog problem.
Yeah, I read about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so wild dogs create havoc not just with farm animals, with people tend to associate them mostly with taking lambs or calves or goats, you know, with these feral animals that are running around everywhere in the bush. But they also do enormous damage to the native fauna.
Oh, yeah.
So you can imagine, you know, wallabies and things like that get attacked by wild dogs. Now, the numbers and the incidents are growing.
True. Cindy, do we know how they originated? Were they just dogs that were dumped, or how did they come about, you know?
There's a whole bunch of different ways.
Right.
That, so sometimes that they are dogs that are dumped and they make their way. And, you know, you'd be surprised how wily dogs are, because on Kangaroo Island, I don't know if you saw it a few weeks back, there was a little dachshund that went missing for a couple of months.
Right.
And it survived. So, you know, it might have been able to find itself in little spots, but it survived. And so we have, they go missing. Sometimes hunters lose a dog. Sometimes it's a dog out of a backyard that gets, as we said, dumped. And there's been, you know, like a long time ago, there were dingoes in and around the area. Now more, you know, though I think that they're still, some of them have some dingo DNA in them, but their wild dogs are, you know, looking like, say, German Shepherds or Bull Terriers, or different features. You know, they've got a mixture of a whole bunch of things.
And not a good nature.
not a good nature. Well, we've also got, hand in hand with that, is the deer problem.
Yes, that's huge, isn't it?
It is huge. Yeah. It is huge. And so the deer, somebody shoots a deer, leaves it, or there's a wounded deer or whatever, it's a feast for a dog and a pup. A bitch and her pups, or the pack. And people in and around Hoddles Creek and Gladysdale see these dogs roaming in packs. It's not just one dog on their own. They roam in packs and they'll have a lead dog. And in Dixon's Creek, it's also a problem. So the government did have sessions about the dogs. They had one in Taggarty, they had one in Merrijig, and I went to those, and they had one. It was supposed to be at Yellingbo, but a tree fell down over the hall.
Oh, no.
So it was in Seville. But one of the locals, Steve Ross, decided, well, what can we do, you know, after listening to the session with department staff, departmental staff, DECA and agriculture, about, well, what can we do as a collective and how can we get together? And so he had a meeting that I went to, Aaron Violi was at, Jim Child was at, so having all levels of government is good to have a look at what it is that they can do about tracking these dogs, where they're going, trying to make things safer. Because it's not just, as I said, sheep and goats and calves and things like that. And in Taggarty, one of the councillors actually had her small dog take it.
True.
And we've had incidents in the high country where people have been camping and they've had confronted...
Yeah, I just see, you know, that would be terribly frightening, wouldn't it?
Oh, it is. Terribly, terribly frightening for people to confront them. And we know, you know, that in other places that these sorts of things have happened, and particularly like with dingoes on Fraser Island.
Yep.
What was Fraser Island? You know, so this can be really scary. And so there's a lot of people in the Upper Yarra who were telling me they don't go for walks on their own anymore. They, you know, they're a bit worried some of the bushwalks that they used to take and happily stroll through, you know, different bush tracks because they're worried about meeting dogs. So they've got another meeting booked for the 4th of June at Wandon. Steve Ross is his name. If anyone wants to come and talk, ring my office about it. But they've got somebody from the Gippsland Wild Dog Advisory Group, and Gippsland, the residents have got together to try and work out what they can do and how they can try and prevent these dog attacks. So if you suffer, you know, if you know somebody who has suffered loss as a result or had a big fright or sees a pack of dogs moving, but the really important thing that you need to do is to report it. And there's a guy who can come out and help deal with it and trap it, but he works from Orbost to pretty well Dixon's Creek.
Strike. What
not a very long, not a very big distance, is it? And the guy in Murrindindi also goes up to Corryong, you know, like...
Gee.
So the resources are pretty short on the ground, but what is important is if you ring the numbers, that they get logged.
Yeah,
and you
so
can check this on them.
So they know where they are. Yeah,
yeah, and if they can see where they're moving. And so locals want to say, okay, if there's a pack of dogs, it started in Gladysdale this morning and then someone spotted it 5K away or someone else spotted, you know, so that they can try and work out strategies for dealing with the dogs.
Yeah, that's really scary, isn't it? But, and you could think, you know, out at night, You wouldn't want to be walking in and come across a pack of wild dogs, because they're not like a normal dog where you can go and pat them, eh? You just don't want to.
No. You wouldn't be. They'd be quite scary, because some of them are very large. And I have had some farmers actually from Merrijig send me the scale. You know, they've got the dog hanging on the scale that has that they've had to shoot. Yeah. And, you know, they're 30, 40 kilos, some of these dogs. Like, they're not. Gee. They're not little.
Jeez, you wouldn't want one of those coming after you.
No, you wouldn't at all. You know, so I really applaud the local residents for getting together to working out, well, what can we do?
Yeah.
How can we deal with this as, you know, working as a group with each other? And I think that's really admirable that, you know, Steve Ross is coordinating. It is really volunteering a lot of his time and effort into thinking, what can we do here?
We do. Unbelievable. Cindy, we've got a couple of minutes. Is there anything else you want to cover before you have to go?
Oh, look, there was another wonderful student-led service at the Yuppie Yarra RSL for Anzac Day all of the students... Yeah, look, they have it every year. All of the kids from Seville through to East Warby and Don Valley, it's probably 9 or 10 schools all get together with support from the Yuppie Yarra Secondary College. A number of people come in from there. A number of students come in from there, and the kids all do something a little bit different. They have to speak in front of the crowd, which is, you know, can be a bit scary, but they do a great job.
Particularly for young people.
Yeah. And the Yuppie Yarra RSL do a terrific job. You know, all of the kids get all bussed in, so all of a sudden there's no one there. Then there's hundreds of kids running around. And they talk to the RSL guys. You know, it's... One of the things they encourage is to go up, and they've got some gear on display, but to go up and talk to the people about what it is or how heavy this is. And, you know, if you put a bullet, I'm not sure, you know, those things that go over the shoulder.
Yep.
With all the bullets on them, and they're heavy as anything.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
To think, you know, you've got to walk along with them. So, you know, it's terrific that the Yuppie Yarra RSL get behind this year on year, and the schools do too, the grade 6 kids. And I've got to commend all of the kids again for the great work that they do.
That's terrific. Look, I know you've got to get away, Cindy. We thank you for your time again, and we look forward to talking to you. Gee, that, yeah, you'll be half gone in June.
Well, yes. We'll be in winter.
Thanks very much for your time.
Alan.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.
No worries. Bye.